Welcome to the Yemei Ratzon Tzvila audio series with the OU Women's Initiative. I'm Bruria Siegel, and today we're going to focus on Tzikiat Shofar. I want to start off by telling you a story. When I was growing up, there was a girl in our shul, a couple years older than me, who got engaged to a really great guy, from boy, real Ben Torah, who had had an interesting journey, an interesting story of how he had gotten there. When he grew up in a from home. He enlisted in the Israeli army. And when he was done with his tzahal service, he decided, like many of his friends, to go spend some time in Mumbai, India, to recover from the intensity of war and, you know, have a little bit of time distracted before he moved on with the rest of his life. Sadly, it was only a matter of months before he had entirely abandoned religion. There was no more Shabbos, Kashrus. He was living with his girlfriend, and he would spend most of his days and nights partying in Mumbai. One night, he's out with his girlfriend. They're sitting in an outdoor bar, and he hears a sound. And at first, he doesn't recognize that sound, and then it hits him. That's the sound of a shofar. And he looks around and he sees that on the street corner in downtown Mumbai, there is a Chabad rabbi blowing a shofar. And he thinks to himself, oh my gosh, today must be Rosh Hashanah. And he runs up to the rabbi and he asks, is today Rosh Hashanah? And the rabbi confirms that yes, in fact it is. He looks at the sky, sees the sun setting, and realizes the entire day went by and he didn't even know. He's shaken up, he runs back to his room, he packs up his bags and he's off to Israel. Enrolls in the yeshiva in Israel, spends many years learning there, and now is a very, you know, serious Ben Torah and a really firm person. When I first heard that story, I was just in awe of the power of the shofar. We always say that the shofar is a wake-up call to us, and sometimes we don't see it, but in this story, so clearly it awakened this Jewish neshama. But I have to be honest that it's also a little bit disheartening, because when I hear this story, I also think, will I ever be able to tap into the sound of the shofar the way that he was, right? When we hear the shofar in Rosh Hashanah, does it ignite passion within us? Does it inspire us to make those kinds of changes? And what I'm hoping to do in the little time that we have together is explore a piece of from the Pachad Yitzchak, a piece of Rav Hertner's, which hopefully at the end we'll be able to say, yes, the shofar can inspire us, it can change us, it can motivate us to make drastic changes in our own lives. So let's begin. Rav Hutner explains that the reason the shofar speaks to the heart and soul of a Jew is not because of its beautiful sound or its melodious tune, but because it reminds us of who we are and where we come from. The shofar reminds us who we are and where we come from. Okay, how does that work? How does the shofar remind us of that? So when we blow the shofar, we remember a blow that happened on Rosh Hashanah, but thousands of years ago. See, according to the Midrash, Rosh Hashanah is not celebrating the first day of creation, but rather the sixth day of creation, the day when man was created. And if we think about it, it actually makes a lot of sense, because God creates this world, and in the first 5 days, as beautiful and breathtaking and majestic as it is, it serves no purpose. But then on day six, when man comes along, everything changes. Now the world has meaning and purpose, because it's the stage or the backdrop on which man can really get close to God. So if it's true that Rosh Hashanah celebrates the sixth day of creation, the day on which man was created, let's describe what happened on that day, right? We know that God mixes together some dirt, some water, makes some kind of amazing dough, forms it into a, you know, human being, shapes it, arms, legs, a nose, a face, right? And then finally, at the culmination, Vayipach be'apav nishmat chayim, he blows into man a breath of life. And for this, I like to imagine blowing up a balloon, right? If I take a deep breath and blow up a balloon, and now I look at that balloon, the air that's in that balloon a few seconds ago, that was in me, meaning there's a piece of me, so to speak, in the balloon. Well, and if we, you know, take this into the godly world, that means, right, and the Zohar explains this, that when God blew into us, he blew part of him into us. Man de nafach mitochei nafach. When a person blows, he blows from within. So essentially, when God breathed life into Adam, he was infusing man with a piece of godliness, right? God's breath, so to speak, was what gave man life. And that explains, Rabbi Hutner, is why the words neshama, and which neshama, a soul, and neshima, a breath, are so related. Our neshama came into being through a neshima, through a breath of God. Interesting that the word in English, inspiration, right, also comes from this day in Gan Eden when God inspired breath into man. Same idea. Okay, so on that Rosh Hashanah, thousands of years ago in Gan Eden, someone was blowing, right? But that time it wasn't man blowing a shofar, it was God blowing life into man. And now every year on Rosh Hashanah, when we blow the shofar, we remember that first blowing. We remember Vayipach be'apav nishmat chayim. And we cry out to Hashem and say, Hashem, remember us. We're chilek elokam imal. We're a part of you and you're a part of us. Some of you is in each of us. But in truth, we're not just reminding Hashem, we're reminding ourselves as well. We're using the shofar as an opportunity to really remember that there's godliness in each of us. And because of that, we're capable of greatness. We can accomplish so, so much. Based on all this, it's really not surprising that the day Rosh Hashanah is referred to in the Torah as Yom Truah, a day of blowing, right? Because it's the blowing itself that is so significant, right? However, that being said, we also know that we are instructed to use a shofar. We can't just blow, we use a shofar to blow. And if you think about it, what the shofar does is it takes that breath that we blow and it turns it into beautiful sounds, moving, powerful sounds. Because breath without a shofar produces no sound, just like a neshama without a body can't really accomplish anything. Okay? And let's go a little deeper in terms of where this shofar comes from, right? We can't just take any horn. It has to specifically be a horn from a ram. We all know that the reason for that is because that's what Avraham used at Akedat Yitzchak, right? He was about to sacrifice his only child, and then something catches his eye. Vayisa Avraham et einav, vayar v'hine ayil achar ne'echaz basvach bekarnav. There's a ram caught in the thicket, and he can use this ram instead of Yitzchak. This is his golden ticket. And the Midrash describes that this wasn't just any ram. This ram, this specific ram, had been created during Sheshet Yimei Bereshit, during the 6 days of creation, with three very specific purposes. The first, it would be used at Akedat Yitzchak. The second, one of its horns would be used at Matan Torah. And the third, the other horn, would be used to announce the coming of Mashiach. And then the Midrash continues to describe that this ram, this designated ram, just kept getting stuck over and over, right? Avram sees it in the thicket, but that wasn't the first time it had gotten stuck. It was a little bit of a clumsy ram, and it would get stuck, and then it would get unstuck, and then it would get stuck again. And it just, every time it would extract itself, it would find itself in another bush, in another tree, stuck again. Interesting. This ram had a very clear purpose in life. It was created during Sheshet Yimei Bereshit and designated for greatness, right? All it wanted to do was accomplish its goal. But so much kept getting stuck in its way. And then just when it would get untangled, it would get stuck again. And Hashem so beautifully says to Avram in this Midrash, Kach atidin banecha lehistabech. So too your children are going to get stuck over and over again, right? We're no different than that clumsy ram, right? We're given a neshama. We're put here for a purpose. And all we really want to do is push ourselves towards that goal, follow our dreams and our passions and make it to the finish line, right? Follow our neshama and the godliness within each of us. But sometimes we get stuck, we get lost, we get distracted. There's lots of external influences out there and many things are pulling us in different directions. Sometimes we lose sight of who we really are and we forget that there's a piece of godliness within us. So on Rosh Hashanah, when we blow the shofar, we remind ourselves, not just Hashem, of who we really are. We remember that blow of years ago when God breathed life into each of us and in doing so, infused us with a piece of godliness. I want to end with a quick story. It's one of my husband's favorite stories, so I've heard it many times. He often repeats it to our children at the Shabbos table. The story is told of Rav Yaakov Galinsky, who was living in a labor camp in Siberia. And at the time, he noticed that there was another inmate there who would wake up every single night in the middle of the night. He would go under his bed, take out his suitcase, take out a general uniform, put this uniform on, march a few steps, salute himself in the mirror, march a few steps back to his bed, take off his uniform, put it back under his bed, and put on his prisoner garb. And this would happen night after night. And finally, one day, Rav Yaakov went up to him and he said, I need to ask you, what is going on? What are you doing? And the man says, I don't know what you're talking about. And he says, don't lie to me. I see you every night getting up, getting dressed in this uniform. What are you doing? And the man finally says, I'm a high-ranking Lithuanian general. I'm not a prisoner who peels potatoes, cleans toilets, and scrubs the floor. So every night I get dressed in my uniform to remind myself of who I really am. So even if I spend the days cleaning toilets and scrubbing floors, right? At the end of the day, I remember that I am a high-ranking official. Like the Lithuanian general, we sometimes also need to remind ourselves who we really are. We're not a clumsy ram or a man lost in Mumbai wandering the streets for the next party. We're not a prisoner scrubbing toilets. We are chelek eloka mima'al. There is a piece of God within each of us, a piece of God which dates back to that very first Rosh Hashanah when God breathed life into man, when he inspired godliness into each of us. So my hope is that this year on Rosh Hashanah, and this year we only get one chance because the first day of Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos, we'll only blow the shofar once. But my hope is that when we do blow the shofar, we can remember that blow, the purity of that day in Gan Eden, the potential of that day, remember who we really are, and let this be the year when we don't forget who we are. Thank you so much for learning together. This series has been dedicated by our most loving and nurturing parents, Yitzchak and Barbara Lehman Siegel, and family in memory of our beloved grandmother, Rose Siegel, Sarah Rasa Bas Rafal, and her beloved sister, Celia Feierstein, Cyril Bas Rafal of Baltimore, Maryland. Please visit OU.org for our list of daily sponsors.